Welcome to the Mile 99 interview series with your hosts, Greg Larkin, Mike Turner, and Jessica Harris. Enjoy this episode, and we'll hope to see you on the trails soon. Welcome, everybody. It is the Mile 99 interview series, and it's our 24th episode. My name is Greg Larkin, one of the co-hosts of the interview series and podcast. And what we do is we talk to a different ultra runner from our community every week to 2 weeks, depending on how many people, awesome people we want to interview. And we also like to find out kind of like what makes them tick, some of their stories from growing up, how they got into running and racing, and some of their training tips and any other types of stories that they might have kind of along the way. So just to be aware, the Mile 99 interview series is being recorded. It's in front of a live Zoom audience. We don't do any additional takes. There's no breaks. There's no cuts. So unlike the trail, what's said here is on the record. But that's what we love about this show. And we've really had some awesome guests on and some really great stories, and really found like some real connection, I think, with our guests over the last month since, we started this thing back in May of 2020. So I am joined by my co-hosts, Jessica Harris and Mike Turner, as always. Jessica, how are you doing?
I am great. I just added a new member to my family, my fur family. I just got a new cat.
Mm-hmm.
Squeak. And I'm very excited. She's not too excited about me yet, but she'll get there.
Well, so hopefully we'll get some of that sort of cat interfering with the Zoom sessions like I have with Charlie on occasion. maybe in a few weeks. And Mike Turner, how are you doing?
Good. I don't have a cat. The first time in probably 20 years. I've been about 2 years now. So I think I'm due for a new cat myself. So no, things are going good. Started running again, getting back into the new year. I took a little time off after Javelina, so I'm excited. But Greg, you were doing something awesome today. What were you up to today?
Oh, well, I did get up to Royal Gorge cross-country ski area. I've been cross-country skiing since the late 80s, actually mid 80s. And it's pretty much, when I lived in New England, it was really my winter sport because you couldn't really ride your bike. I was a bike racer back then, as I've mentioned before. And I didn't have the option of doing anything really other than skiing. So I always still like going out there, doing some cross training. Great conditions today. Sunny, warm, no wind, perfect snow. So it was a really good day up there.
Oh, it sounds like it. It looks like a nice day. So like Greg was saying, we started this show back when COVID first began. And then the country started its lockdown and all of our races were canceled. Group runs became risky and we all started running alone for the summer. And like Greg said, we started interviewing our local running community, talking to people that we admire just to stay connected, stay motivated, inspired, sharing their great stories. It's been really great. And we got Jessica, like we said, Jessica's here taking care of the interactive portion tonight. We're live on Zoom. The chat room is there. Please leave your questions and comments there towards the end. Jessica will get them together and we will run some questions by you from the folks out there. So if you're watching on Facebook Live, try to put your comments in the chat room in Zoom. Easier to get to. We want to mention some of our friends of the show, Monsters of Massage in Newcastle, California. The voices down there, like everybody, they've had a hard year and they've been great. They're a great extreme sports place that can get any kind of, knot you have or any kind of thing you got going on. They can help you out. So please go chat with those guys and schedule an appointment.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Mike. So tonight, our guest is Jocelyn Watson. She is a local ultra runner who's been running since very early in life. Unlike myself, I started really late in life. So I always like to hear about people that started, way earlier and just kind of find out their motivation and how they got into the sport. And so over the past couple of years, she's taken on some really difficult ultra trail races. And we're going to get into that. She is also a manager at Fleet Feet in Roseville. I believe it's a Roseville Folsom, but we'll figure that out. And she is also very active on social media, both personally and professionally. And we're really excited to hear about what Fleet Feet's been doing during 2020 with the pandemic and everything, and plans that she and the store have for 2021. So welcome to the show, Jocelyn.
Thanks so much for having you guys. I am excited to be here and share everything Jocelyn Watson related and what the stores are going to do next year.
Cool. That'll be great. So just because, sorry, I glitched there for a minute. Is there a separate Roseville and Folsom store for Fleet Feet?
Yeah. So I co-manage the Folsom store and I'm there full time, but our Folsom and Roseville store are actually intertwined, just different managers for each store. And then I do the marketing for both of the stores.
Okay, cool. Because I think, is it that mm-hmm. the like the Instagram account is sort of for both stores? Is that how it works?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, cool. Just wanted to clarify that since I didn't fully research that before we got online. Apologies.
That's all right. Yeah. If you go to Roseville during the week, you probably won't see me there. I will be in Folsom.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Okay. So, you know, one of the things that we'd like to talk about, you know, just as we sort of get to know our guests and get, you know, the people on the call to know our guests is a little bit about maybe your early life. And, you know, as always, we always send out a questionnaire to our guests before the interview, and they, you know, put in some information to some of the different questions we have. And, you know, one of the things you wrote is that, as I mentioned in the intro, you know, you started running in middle school. So it was pretty early in life. And so I'm just basically interested to hear more about how you got involved in that and sort of what the motivation was behind getting into running at that early age and sort of how you picked running and all of that.
Yeah. So running in middle school was all about just having fun. And I would like to first start off with saying that my family has always been such big advocates for having and creating a fun atmosphere just for our total family, my siblings. And when I got into running, that's just how it was. It was never competitive. We would just go out and have a good time. And I remember when I was younger, my mom was the active one and she always ran. And when I was little, she would say, "Come on, Jocelyn, let's go and stretch. And I'm going to get ready for my run." And we would do these little like side stretch things together. And she would teach me how to stretch properly and get ready for her run. And then she would go off and come back. And those are just memories that I remember when I was really young. And then once I got older, middle school, you know, we ran the mile, which, you know, was always so daunting. And I just loved it. I grew up being super active. I played soccer, softball, and softball got a little too scary for me when I got into middle school. So then running was a little less scary. And so that's where I went from there. And then I went into high school, met some of my best friends in high school. They all came to our wedding. And it's just incredible the type of friendships that I've made through running and how the people who have surrounded me have inspired me to keep going. And now I ran, you know, through high school and then got into college and continued to keep running. And it was always more than just the time for me and the lap splits. It was more about the friendships that I built. And of course the personal accomplishments were always very rewarding, but eventually the track running got a little too intense, a little too, you know, about the times. And then eventually I just was like, I want to do the trails. I like the trails. And I didn't find the trails by myself. I definitely cannot take credit, but I'm sure you guys know Chloe Romero, Shulman now, and Austin Tweetmeyer, but they took me on my first ever trail run. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. And they were the ones who told me that it's totally okay to walk, Jocelyn. And oh yeah, you can have all the snacks that you want on this 3 mile run. And from there, I was like, okay, I want all the snacks. I want to walk the hills. This sounds way more fun than throwing up on the track.
so true. Yeah, I had such a shift in mentality when I first started getting on trails. And I've told this story, I think, on some previous episode where I came from a bike racing background. Of course, you don't walk your bike up hills. You ride and your heart rate goes really high and then you recover on the downhill. but it's, so that was sort of my way of doing running. But then I found out, like, wait a minute, this ultra thing, you walk the hills, try to keep your heart rate down, you know? So it was like, yeah, a totally different shift. So it sounded like a similar kind of realization for you as well. Like back in the school days, like what were some of the different track cross country events and such that you did back then?
Oh man, I know I ran every event from at least the 400 up to the 10K. When I was in high school, it was mostly the 1500 the 1500 wasn't in high school. So it was the mile or the 2 mile in high school. And I enjoyed doing that. But once I got to college, I focused a little bit more on the shorter distances. And I'll be the first to tell you, I am not a super fast person, and that's totally fine with me. But when I got into college, I believed I was. So I focused a lot on the 800 and 1500. They were very power speed events. And deep down, I was more of a distance runner. And I also did the steeplechase in junior college, which was excruciating. Jessica's celebrating.
Oh yeah.
Probably not my best skill set. I would say I was better suited for falling down than actually completing the race successfully. Every time I would line up for the steeplechase, I could just see my mom in the stands just being like, why is she doing this race? And afterwards, she would always say, okay, do you want to pick a different event? You know, why do you keep doing the steeplechase? She supported everything that I did, but the steeplechase was not a super fun event for a parent to watch, especially when you're not that good at it. And then when I transferred to Southern Oregon University, I really started to play around with the longer distances. The school I went to is in Ashland, Oregon, which if anybody has ever been to Ashland, it is trail mecca. Hal Kerner owns the running store up there. He runs for North Face and is super, super well known for his trail running background and ultras. And I just fell in love with the place. And I would go out and do my long runs on the trails. And my coach had to tell me, like, hey, Jocelyn, just so you know, you're exerting a lot more effort than the rest of your teammates by running on the trails. Like, let's try not to do that.
Oop, we're getting a little cut out here. Hold on one second. This is live, so we may come back. Hopefully Jocelyn will come back here real quick.
It's interesting, Greg, hearing about, I love hearing about where their start was in track, and I'm interested to see if her mother was in track or her mother was a marathoner. You know, when she gets back, we can see if she got into any races herself. Her mother was racing, or it'd be fun to kind of find out about that.
Yeah. Oh, are we there yet? Bear with us, people. This can definitely be one of the factors on a Zoom call. Oh, I think she dropped, but hopefully she's coming right back. So we'll just wait a moment here.
So I've been to Ashland, but I've never run up there. Either of you, I went up there for the Shakespeare Festival when my girls were in high school. They have a really cool Shakespeare Festival in Ashland. It's a cute little town, kind of like Grass Valley, just a cute little town. Have either of you guys run up there ever before?
I have not.
I have, and you fall in love. I mean, you could fall in love over and over on those trails, and you can climb really quickly on the trails that they have available. So, I mean, within a couple miles, you're overlooking the city, and it's just breathtaking. That's a good place to be.
Very cool. What's Hal's race he has up there?
Pine to Palm.
That's
Pine to Palm.
Yeah, that got, I believe there's also a mountain. And he had everyone donate to COVID relief instead. So that was really cool.
Nice. And I think they also have the Mount Ashland Hill Climb. That's another one that's up. Is that right? Oop,
Yeah. And did they have any fire problem last year with the fires in their in Pine to Palm?
That I don't know. I think we're getting Jocelyn back. Okay, we're back.
I'm so sorry. Jessica,
it's okay. Jessica, is your audio working right now? Can you speak for a second?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Sorry. I thought for some reason I thought your audio wasn't working. Okay, we're good. Yeah. This is all live. This is great.
Yes, we love technical difficulties.
Totally. Welcome back, Jocelyn.
Oh my goodness.
All right, let's start over.
My apologies.
Tonight our guest. Anyway, I think we were talking about the steeplechase or something around there.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I must have been rambling forever.
You got to Southern Oregon. You were
maybe Oregon. Yeah.
In college.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, I remember. Okay. So I was sharing how, when I first transferred there, you know, it's a super trail community and I was connecting a little bit more with trail runs and just having a lot of fun there. And I remember sitting down with my coach when I first got there and I just was like, hey, what do you think, about me running a 50K this summer? And he was like, well, how about we do the 10K in the track? And so that's what I ended up doing. He wasn't a super big fan of me doing a 50K, you know, for obvious reasons. I don't know a lot of, I don't know a lot of coaches who are like, yeah, let's throw in a 50K into your training. Sounds perfect. I think at that moment, you know, the trails ultra running is really where I wanted to be, but I had so many people surrounding me that was like, you just got to see it through. You're only going to run in college once. And I do agree with that. I think if you're having a great time running track, the community that you receive from track running, the sportsmanship, the motivation and inspiration is incredible. And it's a lot different. And I'm happy that I have that experience to look back on now as I do grow more with ultra running. But gosh, I just remember his face when he was like, how about the 10K? I trained for the 10K. That was the first time I ever really built up my mileage to 60, 70 miles a week. And I gotta say, it was pretty fun. I would say that I am a pretty consistent runner when it comes to pacing. And so the 10K really spoke to me and I was able to just, you know, run 136s around the lap, around the track, and just keep things very consistent and run really well and really strong. So 5K, 10K in college. And then literally that summer after I had one more season left, but I didn't have any more cross country. So I decided to run an ultra literally the summer after I was done.
Quite the transition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think in your questionnaire too, like you mentioned about like, you know, pressure related to performance, injury, some other things going on. So like, it just sounded like a lot of pressure. I mean, just, I can only imagine like, you know, at that time in people's lives and, you know, all the competitiveness and college is a pretty intense experience as it is. And then to add on like the sports pressure and everything else, like I can only imagine. And again, like I came to this sport way late in life, so I have no concept of what that can be like, but it sounds like a lot to carry.
Yeah, with track and cross country, just collegiate running in general it's very competitive. And I think it takes a very determined athlete to do your double runs every day, work with your teammates to hit your laps during practice, get your strength workouts in, do your long run. You're running sometimes 8 to 9 times a week, especially if you were the 5K, 10K runners. I mean, we're running 6 days, but throughout those 6 days, you have 2 double runs. You're doing your morning workout and then you go out for 4 miles in the afternoon after you've taken all your classes and when I was in college, I was working part-time both in junior college and at my 4-year school. And it was tough. I mean, I definitely believe that I have really good time management skills now, because of how I was able to work my way through college. And I think choosing to go to a community college right out of high school was just really, really smart for me. I was able to work. I was able to pay for my school. I had a lot of fun in college and with track and not steeplechase. But it got really tough towards my junior and senior year. And I think what made it really difficult was that I transferred in and a lot of these girls already knew each other. All of the juniors and seniors had already been there for 2 years when this was just my first year. And I connected with a couple girls, found a really good church to go to later on. But the time, I think that there was external pressure from track mostly that was just really hard for me. And I think that we're all, you know, we all can get this type of pressure, whether it's from track or work or ultra running or your training. It can be anywhere you go. And I think I definitely have the tendency to really try and perform to the best that I can. And it, for me, when I was doing track, it was really hard for me to perform well at something that I personally wasn't enjoying that much. And then I, you know, the injury portion of it, I mentioned I was getting up to 60 and 70 mile weeks. And really, I was not running that type of mileage very consistently. So when I did start doing it, it was a lot of pounding for my body. I wasn't used to it. This was my senior track year. And then following that, I had my one last summer before I graduated, the summer that I did my 50K. Then I had one more like red shirt cross country season I could have done. But during those 60, 70 mile weeks, I got a really, really bad peroneal tendonitis or tendon strain that took me out for the rest of the season. So while I kept pushing and pushing to be better and stronger, it actually was breaking down my body, which was really hard. And to kind of get, I felt like I kind of walked into a wall. You know, I worked so hard, put in all this mileage, I did everything right. And then it just fell short right before like some of my big races, which, I mean, it's hard. You feel defeated and, you know, but it ultimately led me to something which I loved a lot more. So I'm very thankful for it.
Yeah. It's amazing how transitions in life can do that. You know, like a layoff might lead to your dream job or something like an injury can, you know, bring you to some other plane that you never thought you'd get to, you know? Now just since we've been talking about this a little bit, and there's a couple questions in the Zoom chat, and I personally have it too, is like, and I've seen it on TV, but I've never understood like the beginnings of the steeplechase. Like, how, do you know how that event, like how did that event originate and what is it? And can you just kind of describe what a race doing that is like?
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know like too much about the steeplechase history. If there is anybody on the call who knows a little bit more, then like I would love to hear from you. But from what I know, way back when, the steeplechase was actually a horse race. And basically what people would do for fun, towns were really small back then, they would send their horses back and forth from the churches in town and would see which horse won. And so they, you know, thought what a great way then to have people do it too, with barriers. So, the steeplechase is a 3K race. So it's just under 2 miles and every 50 or so meters, you have a very large barrier that you have to jump over, literally the same kind that I swear they use for horse races, like for the agility races that they do, but they are probably like as big as my face around, and they were probably 5 feet long. And when you're jumping over something that's only 5 foot long and you have 10 other girls who also want to jump over that barrier at the same time, it's pretty ridiculous. When you're watching this race happen, it's like this big mob that goes up and over, and if somebody falls, you're like, oh my gosh. And then halfway through, after about 200 meters, is a giant barrier that always looks higher than the rest of them, and then a water pit as well. The water pit is 3 feet deep. And if you're smart, you won't wind up in that pit. But oftentimes I did. Oh my gosh, I wish I had sent you guys some pictures ahead of time. But my parents couldn't even get good pictures of me going over the water pit because I would create such a splash that it would cover my face. Yeah, oftentimes I would fall hands forward and I would literally finish the race and have all these scuff marks on my hands. And yeah, that was the steeplechase for me.
Wow. I did not realize the water pit was that deep. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mike.
It seems like we see why you like trail running, because you like to suffer, apparently, even at a young age.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was definitely tough. Fortunately, I didn't do it too many times. I think the hand scuffs were not super exciting for me. And it's kind of funny looking back on that now, how much I hated doing the steeplechase. And now I'm like, yeah, let's go run for 18 hours for fun.
It's great. It's like 3K versus 100K, like, you know. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's that's some good details on kind of your evolution as a runner and sort of, you know, how you started and got through all of that. And then I think, like you said, I mean, there, you know, you did make a lot of really great connections and community with the people back in those years. And then I can only imagine as you got into trail running, as we've talked to so many guests and we ourselves experienced this, anyone that's on the trail, like you can feel the community when you're out there and at races and aid stations and people crewing you and pacing you and all these things. It's like, that's more so than the running. A lot of times that's the draw, is the community. And, you know, if you have any insights on what the community of trail running has been like for you, I'd love to hear those.
I totally agree. Trail running for me has always been about community and just having fun. I think I just, in college, you know, I got so used to everything being so strict from a time standpoint that when I finally started running on the trails more often and getting into ultras, it was like, it was a lot more enjoyable and just more stress-free. And the support that I received from my family and my coworkers and just the trail running community here in Folsom, Auburn, surrounding areas is just truly incredible. Anybody who is looking to get into something, I'm pushing them to try the trails. And it's scary. It can be daunting. And, you know, we have a lot of people who come into the store and they're like, I couldn't possibly get into trail running. There's snakes. And, you know, snakes are very scary. Mountain lions are scary, but in return for all that scare that you might have, there is so much potential reward and gain that the trails can give you. And I mean, you have giant hills out there like Training Hill, which a lot of our training program participants, when they tackle Training Hill, that is the highlight, to do that once, twice. I mean, that is so rewarding for anybody. I don't care how experienced you are, getting up Training Hill is just great. But, you know, I've had some of my best trail runs with my family members and my husband, Cole, some of my best friends. You know, when you spend 3 hours on the trail with somebody, you're going to get to know them really well. And you can have those deep conversations that you might not necessarily get to have when you're at work or just going out for dinner with your friends. I'm so fortunate that my family runs and that's where we really spend a lot of time. Both my parents are into running. I mean, my whole family is, which is just awesome. But I'm so proud of both my parents for getting out there, tackling the trails after they've seen the type of stuff that I've done. They're like, okay, we're going to try it too. And my dad wanted to train for a 50K, and that we did a lot of our training together, and it was so much fun. Just, I mean, if you can go out there and not worry about time or your pace, or whether or not you have to run or walk a hill, just do your thing. Just have a good time. There is nobody out there pressuring you to do anything except yourself. And running can be a very isolated sport, but when you have somebody who's there to cheer you on and support you and chat with you for multiple hours, it's pretty cool. The community aspect, it's just so much different from track. You know, you go into an aid station and people are like, yeah, you're doing great. You're like, I'm only 4 miles in. I have like 60 to go. I mean, it doesn't matter how much pain you're in. People are still so excited for you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I love that aspect of it. And you know, when you're filled with self-doubt, there's so many people that are there to kind of like lift you up and help you and push you forward and all that. And they'll also give you space. If you need a little space, they'll come back to you and sort of like check in. And yeah, it's just, yeah, I know for me personally, the same thing. I mean, the community aspect of it is amazing. And the deep friendships you make on the trail are like none other that I've experienced in my life, really. I know Mike's given me the, you know, whatever. I wasn't talking, no. but yeah, I mean, that's such a great aspect. And, you know, going out on those trails and getting to a place that you may have never seen before, and just like standing at the top of some hill or mountain or wherever, looking around and saying like, I just came up, what? I just ran how far, or I walked, or it doesn't matter if you walk, run, hike, whatever, you got there, you know, that's the important part. So that's great. So yeah, I mean, you know, I think I've seen on your Instagram, like your dad is out there with you and, you know, you guys are training together and you've done some amazing races. And I sort of, yeah, I wanted to kind of dig into some of the races. You know, we always go and kind of look up the ultra sign up results for our guests and all that. And I mean, you've done some really cool races out here. Robinson Flat, you know, Salmon Falls, Lake Sonoma. Definitely want to hear about the marathon to Mont Blanc. We'll get to that. Castle Peak. That's Mike and I have done that one. That's no joke right there. But one of the questions we had was Robinson Flat. I guess that was like in 2017. Was that your first 50K right there?
That was. And that was the 50K where I was like, I'm done with track. I'm doing ultras now, guys. And so that was a crazy summer. I was in my senior year of college, and it was, I was getting ready for my last term. I was doing an internship in Sacramento. I was working at the store part-time. I was training for an ultra race. It was crazy. I was staying at home for the summer. Ashland had a super smoky year anyway, so it's probably good I was home, but yeah, it was intense, and it was also horrifically hot. Like, I'm pretty sure that was the summer. It was like 110, 111 and kind of back and forth. But yeah, and I would spend just the weekends up at Robinson Flat training and getting used to the altitude. And that race was insanely difficult. And I think each race that I have done since then has had its own great learning experience.
Yeah. I mean, you've kind of moved up in the mileage, pretty steadily. You know, Lake Sonoma, I mean, again, like that's one of the premier races, out in the, you know, I'm from the East Coast, so I just have to think East West, but west of here towards the coast, 50 miler. I mean, it's like a name brand race. I mean, that's, as we know, like a lot of people go there to get their golden ticket for Western States. So it attracts big names, and it's such a tough course. So what was that race like when you did that?
Lake Sonoma is relentless, as they advertise all the time. It was my first 50 mile race. And after doing Robinson Flat, you know, it didn't have as much, well, I mean, for a 50 miler, it had a lot of elevation, but I thought, well, it's not at altitude. I should be fine, you know, running how many more miles? 20 more miles. Weirdly enough, it didn't seem that scary. I was just like, yeah, 20 more miles, let's go. And I think that every ultra runner thinks that that's like a total normal thing, but 20 miles is actually a lot further than 30 miles. But I think that means that you're in the right place when you're like thinking that kind of good crazy. Lake Sonoma was really hard. I just ran into so many red flags towards the end that was like, what is this cramping? What is this emotion? Why am I hot? Like, I hadn't gone over any more than 30 miles before. So once I started clocking 32, 33, 34 miles, I was just getting more and more excited, but also kept getting in more and more pain. And I remember I was so hot at one point that we came up upon this creek and this guy ran through and he's like, oh, that looks really nice. Would love to douse myself right now. And I just like plummeted into the water and was like, I don't even care. I'm just going to lay here for a second and cool my body down. And I just remember he looked behind me and was like, good for you. And then we just kept on running together. Fortunately, I did not have any chafing problems after that. But I had so much fun. Other than it being really hard, I was really happy that my family got to witness me doing that race. It just felt like such a big accomplishment for me. I trained really hard for it, but there were definitely some learning experiences that happened before. I did Salmon Falls as a training run and I got a little too big for my britches at that race. I'm sure we've all been there before, but I went out like a jackrabbit. I was feeling so good 15 miles in. And then once I got halfway through, I was just like, ooh, I have not taken gels. I haven't taken any a rough last 10 miles. And very emotional. And writes my training, which I'm very fortunate.
Nope, we're getting a little bit of cutout on your audio there for a second.
Do you guys still have me?
Yeah, it was glitching out there for a second. Hopefully we're back. Let's see, might be glitching again.
Okay, sweet.
I think we're good. All right.
Okay. So Cole writes all of my training, and a week or so before Salmon Falls, he was like, Jocelyn, don't go out too fast. This is a training run. You will be in a lot of pain if you go out too fast. What did I do? I went out too fast and I was in a lot of pain. So I learned my lesson the hard way. And does anyone have like that roll recovery, like thing that compresses on your leg? It's like a claw. Yeah. So I tried to use that. Yep. That thing.
Yeah.
I tried to use that after Salmon Falls and was in pain. I could not even get it on my leg because I was in so much pain. Wow. So just a piece of advice for you ultra runners out there, or honestly, anybody training for any distance, don't forget to drink water and your electrolytes, your salt tablets, eat some pickles, eat your gels. It is not worth it. oh my gosh. Yeah. Lake Sonoma was definitely the catapult to get me into longer distances, like Castle Peak, of course, with my first 100K.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I want to talk about that one real quick. Mike and I have both done that. I suffered so badly at that race 2 years ago, I think it was. I think it was my second 100K. We'll talk about that in 1 second. But before we do, you mentioned emotion a couple times. And for me personally, and hopefully other people, like, I'm always interested to hear about what other people go through, because I go through a lot of stuff. Like, I go through some dark stuff. I think your brain just starts producing these crazy chemicals when you're in that weakened state, or I don't know what actually happens, but something happens out there and it's sometimes really uncomfortable and really is difficult to get through. And so can you talk about like some of the experiences you may have had and like those low points and what you did to push through them when you're out there by yourself and it's just miles and you don't know how you're going to finish? Any insights there?
Yeah, definitely. I spent a lot of my training alone, which it just was personal preference for me. And that's kind of how it worked out. At that time I was still a little bit more competitive. I liked focusing on my own thing. And when I got to races, I was just so appreciative to have people to run with and chat with and get to know for quite a bit of Lake Sonoma. And even towards the end, the guy who was kind of joking with me about the water and the little creek there, I ran into him a couple weeks later at a restaurant and he was like, "Jocelyn, is that you?" And it was so crazy. We were down in Healdsburg. And the same guy that I happened to have ran with for probably a couple hours was working at a restaurant and he recognized me. It was incredible. But yeah, so I liked having people. That was really fun and it kept my mind occupied. I even brought music to run with, but I didn't even use it. I just liked chatting with people and the time went by really fast. But I would say, after about 40 miles, when the real pain started hitting in, the fatigue, the cramping, it was new cramping. I had experienced it before, but it was the foot fatigue and pain that kind of happens after you've been running for 10 hours. And at about 44 miles, I was feeling really depleted, got into the aid station and just was like, I need to keep going. I need to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I had pickles. I think I chugged a whole can of Coke and was able to keep going. It is pretty incredible what happens after you take in the right fuel that your body needs. I always feel like the Energizer Bunny when he gets the electricity he needs. Like, I just feel like I shoot up with all this electricity to push hard for the last bit that I need for the race. And I think what really does it for me is just getting to the finish line, seeing Cole, seeing my parents, and just having that post-race hug, regardless of how sweaty you might be. I really long for those moments. Like, it's really special that I get to be somebody that like my parents can look to and maybe be inspired. And I want them to be proud, you know, of the work that I've put in and see me finish something like that in hopes like, yeah, you know, we could maybe do something like that too. So it's pretty, I think a lot of it for me is the love and joy that I get from it in definitely mental battles, which I did struggle with a lot more for Castle Peak.
Yeah. You know, a lot of that struggle, that is one thing you can look to is your loved ones, seeing them at an aid station, and you can use that in your mind as something like, you know, I got 5 miles and then I can see my loved ones. But like you said, nutrition is very important. A lot of your mental depression is nutrition. It starts to feed off you. And then if you don't keep that up and your water up, you're going to have a lot more things affecting your mind. But definitely I like that you can think about your family and coming down a race. And that's always nice, you know, that you can look at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember my mom, she was my crew chief for Lake Sonoma and she carried all of my gels for me. And according to Cole, I'm a little bit more of a high maintenance ultra runner. I don't think that I am, but apparently I am. So my mom, she comes over to me at, I think it was with 15 miles left. She comes over with my little basket of gels and she's like, "What do you need? You need this gel? Do you need that gel?" And she is just so happy. All the while, Cole's like, "Yeah, your mom made us chicken burritos while we've been waiting for you. And yeah, you know, they took a nap. They're just having lots of picnics and enjoying life. And oh, do you need like more gels?" Sounds great.
What is your general nutrition plan? Is it mostly gels or are you a chicken burrito runner?
Oh, I wish I could do chicken burritos. Okay. To be honest though, I don't want to brag, but I do have kind of an iron stomach. I fortunately, this upcoming year, I'll throw up all over the place. I have not thrown up during an ultra yet. But I do spring gels and Huma gels. Definitely not a fan of the goo gels. My body works a lot better with the natural products. More fruit-based stuff. So yes, definitely more of the gels. And actually during Lake Sonoma, I alternated between two gels. That's like all I had. And I did use fruit at the aid station. I carried pickles with me, pickle spears, and just noon for electrolytes and water. And I think I did Tailwind as well. But Tailwind does not really work that well with me anymore.
For your gels, what frequency were you taking gels? Did you watch your watch and you were every 20 minutes or just kind of whenever, was it a feeling thing?
Yeah, every 40 minutes I was taking a gel that was either 100 to 150 calories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with your liquids you were getting, because when you're running at those speeds, it takes a lot more. And I can go a little slower and I can, it's a more efficient, but those speeds, you really got to keep up on that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the Castle Crags, because that was that was a pretty amazing race for you in 2019, right?
Yes, that was so much fun. I was the only one wearing a crop top and mittens and shorts because there was snow at the top and it was fine down low. But once we got to the summit, it was so cold. Oh my gosh. I had to take a selfie up there and show it to my parents afterwards. Like, look at me in my crop top in the snow. Yeah, that race was a grind. I was surprised that I wound up in first place. I was really excited about it, but actually the people who led that race got lost. And so they ended up running, I think, 3 more miles than the actual race course was supposed to go, but you know, they never caught me. So I still consider myself the winner of the race, but, I took advantage of walking earlier on, like a slow kind of power hike in the beginning. And that allowed me to be able to run the more gradual climbs later on in the race. And I felt really good because I saved my energy early on so I could use it later. But yeah.
Very smart. That's what they tell you to do, right? Mm-hmm. Do that. So before we go on to talking about Fleetfeet, the Marathon de Mont Blanc, that seems pretty impressive. I was reading your WordPress blog, which is linked to the show for folks to read those little stories, but that seems pretty, that was pretty epic pictures, huh? That was pretty.
Yeah. Thank you for reading that. I thought like nobody found that anymore. So that makes me happy to know that it's still out there. Yeah. So that, I was just talking to somebody, Leanne, about this earlier. I think she's on the call, but I never would have thought that I would have ever traveled to Europe until Cole got his sponsorship with Hoka. I'm so happy that I got to go over there and do that race. And at first, you know, when we go to Cole's races, I respect him doing his own thing. Like, I want to be there for him and support him and not take anything away from that experience. But we both were like, yeah, let's sign up for this VK. And so a VK is, you know, you get 3,000 feet in per mile. So 3,000 for this particular race was in 2.7 miles. And you basically start at the ground floor of Chamonix, France, and you end up at this, the top of the ski slope. And it's literally just zigzag all the way up. There's no straight, you're zigzagging back and forth. And there's a couple of sections where you could have fallen to your death if you weren't paying attention. A couple, like even just like dirt sections, rock sections, towards the top, there were a couple beams that you had to climb onto, just like metal bars that were sticking out of rocks. I think there's a picture of me looking like Sasquatch, like walking alongside of this rock, which is kind of funny. Yeah, that race was, it was so cool. I literally just put my head down and hiked the whole time. You had to take water with you regardless of how fast or how slow you were. You had to start with a water bottle. And I didn't even touch my water because I was so busy breathing and forcing myself to keep climbing. Yeah, it was such a rewarding feeling after that. And I personally love hiking too on the side of all the ultra running stuff. And so that was right up my wheelhouse.
Man, just amazing. Yeah. And like, just to be able to go over and experience that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'm sure I'd love to do that someday, is once we you know, can get over there to Europe and start, you know, getting on some of those trails. But the scenery, I'm sure, is just mind blowing. So it's probably pretty risky because you want to look at everything, but you also have to concentrate, it sounds like.
Yeah, I remember at one point, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it wasn't just all about, you know, power hiking. But at one point, there is this breathtaking moment. I'm probably going to get emotional, but you get up kind of out of the trees. And when you look behind you, you can see like Mont Blanc and the whole Swiss Alp range behind you. It is so breathtaking. I remember getting really emotional just on this mountainside, like, oh my God, look at the mountains. Like, oh my gosh, I was so embarrassed. But you know what? It was amazing. And I'm really glad I took a second to just appreciate the beauty that surrounded me. I mean, the mountains literally do not look real when you're looking behind you. And it was kind of cool to have that landscape kind of boosting me up the hill.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think that that's an excellent transition, I think, to that idea of like everybody that goes into this sport will have that certain peak experience, you know, whether it's in a foreign country, if it's on the training hill, if it's at, you know, the headlands or where, you know, or on the East Coast or wherever, it's like you can find those things in lots of places. And so I want to sort of switch gears a little bit and start talking about, you know, your work at Fleet Feet, what Fleet Feet has been doing for the running community, especially focusing on like the beginner trail runners, as you mentioned, like people coming in, like, I have no idea how to do trail running. What do I do? How do I start? Where do I go? All these questions that people have interest, they just aren't quite sure how to get there. So I guess, first of all, can we talk a little bit about like Fleet Feet, the brand, you know, your role you mentioned, but just maybe dig into that a little bit more and then sort of start talking about, you know, what those programs have been in the past and maybe how they've been modified and what kind of plans going forward. So I know that's like a 50 part question. I'm sorry. So basically just give us the whole entire story in 5 minutes now.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. So Fleet Feet is a brand that really tries to capture the inclusivity of everybody, whether you are a new walker or runner, or you're an experienced ultra runner. Our goal is to create an environment that is inspiring to every runner. And from our staff to the people that we fit in the stores, my goal and just Fleet Feet's goal as well is to inspire the runner in everybody. And while not everybody may be a runner, we hope that a good fitting for you or just a good conversation at the store with somebody who's relatable can maybe touch somebody in a way that inspires them to go out and walk a mile, whether, you know, they've already been walking or whether they're just starting from nothing. I think that is one of the most rewarding things that Fleet Feet can do for people, is give them an opportunity to start. You know, oftentimes I feel like that's one of the hardest things for people to do, is to just start going, take that first step. And I know for me, and I'm sure for many others on this call, when you get a new pair of running shoes, or you get a really cute top, a new sports bra, a new watch, sometimes that's the first thing that you need to inspire you to start. So I would say that's, in summary, definitely what Fleet Feet is hoping to accomplish.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. Because I mean, there are, you know, so many, yeah, they can be daunting aspects. I mean, like you said, I think early on, you know, people might be afraid of wildlife being out there, snakes, you know, other kinds of things. They may not feel comfortable. We have obviously bears, and bears are pretty common on the trail system, you know, and, you know, they're supposedly are mountain lions. I've not seen one since, but Mike has, I know Mike has, and Jessica. So I'm the only one out here. But they're real. There are three of them. Jeez. They're out there, you know? And, so you might have people that, you know, have certain, you know, reservations about this, and obviously running with a group is, you know, helpful in those situations. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about like some of the programs that Fleet Feet has done for beginners in the past and maybe like some of the modifications, what you've had to change during the pandemic and then kind of like looking forward to 2021?
Yeah, that's definitely. So our training programs obviously look a lot different than they did last year. You know, we were able to have 50 people meet up for a run, and we had all of our training programs open. And now, you know, I feel like it's crazy to talk about what last year looked like because everything's so different right now. But our training programs, we have a training program for everybody, which I think is great. We have a beginner 5K, 10K program that is geared towards that newer walker or running. It's very inclusive. It is for that beginner level for sure. And I would hope that, you know, for me talking about this, you guys can also share that Limitless, like, I don't want that new runner to be intimidated or to think that our training programs are scary. The Limitless program is great for that new runner. And it's a community, which I think is really why people get involved with Limitless. Because like I mentioned earlier, taking that first step by yourself is really hard. And when you have people that are holding you accountable, it makes it a lot easier to be like, okay, I have my Wednesday workout. So-and-so is counting on me. My coach needs me there. So Limitless is just incredible. I have seen it transform so many people's lives. We have somebody in that training program that I believe she weighed close to 300 pounds. She joined Limitless. She looks incredible. I believe she's under 200 now. She's lost over 100 pounds just by taking that first step and committing to the program. Really incredible stuff. So I could talk forever about Limitless, but I won't. So we've got Limitless, and then we also have a spring upcoming half marathon and trail training program. Amazing, amazing coaches. If you need somebody to inspire you, the coaches will definitely do so. They're all of our coaches are awesome. Our trail program this upcoming spring is geared towards a 10K, I believe, and a 31K. So this is actually the first time we've jumped into an ultra distance to hopefully give that new ultra runner an opportunity to also connect with the trail running community. Yeah, Leanne is on there. It's going to be pretty cool. And I think that right now for us to be our stores, to be in a position where we can do new stuff like this, I'm so impressed. We just, our team altogether has been able to pivot and shift so well throughout this year. I mean, one day you're operating with these policies, and then the next day those policies aren't good anymore and you have to shift and do something different that meets what everybody else is doing. And we've been able to do that with our training programs too. We weren't able to have them. And when we could, we adapted, we, you know, took everything into consideration. And that's why we're able to keep doing them, because we're shifting and moving with every piece of information that we get. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously important at this time, you know. Yeah. There's lots of things, the situations change almost on a daily basis. So to have that flexibility in your corporate structure, you know, is obviously going to help. And it sounds like, you know, I'm sure, as a lot of us like to do, we like to look out for each other too, and being able to pivot and shift and make sure we're still kind of like on the up and up with everything is a good sign. And hopefully that gives people that are new to it also some comfort, like, hey, like, they're looking out for me, and, you know, we're going to get through this eventually. And then, you know, hopefully we will be able to get back to those 50 person group runs and have all that good times and all that stuff too. So I know we're all looking forward to that.
I would definitely say, if you guys know of anybody, or if you are, you know, tuning in this evening, if you're ever considering like, should I do the spring half marathon training program? Yes, I strongly want to urge you to sign up, take that step, start the training. You will not regret it. My parents were in the same position multiple years ago where they were like, I don't know. I think it's a little too intense for me. They did that half marathon training program and continued on after that. And that I just hear that over and over again. People tell me, I wish I would have signed up sooner. I wish I had known about how great this program was for me. And it really, really is. And I'm not overemphasizing, like, it really has been so special for so many people. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I mean, it's life-changing for a lot of people. So it's important work, you know, getting people involved, especially these days too. I mean, people are feeling isolated, you know, it's just any kind of community, whether it's in person or virtual or whatever. I mean, it's going to help people kind of get through some of this stuff. So that's really good. One of the things I want to just close on before we get to our next little section is, I think you had mentioned about the ambassador program. Can you just tell us a little bit about that before we transition?
Yes, I'm so happy you brought this up. I am over the moon excited for what we are doing starting in 2 days. So we are launching an ambassadorship program starting on January 1st. It has been, so we haven't even started the program yet, and I have already been touched by all of our ambassadors. We have 14 people that were nominated and selected by our coaches, staff, surrounding groups to represent us in 2021. And these guys, I mean, keep your eyes open, you guys, over the next 6 months. We have some incredible people who are going to be representing our stores. So along with their just Fleet Feet ambassadorship, they will be representing a brand for us. So we have Brooks, Viore, it's an apparel brand, Rabbit, and we have Hoka and Saucony are going to be our lead brands that we're working with. And then, you know, it's kind of the umbrella, just overall, they're a Fleet Feet ambassador representing this brand for us. And our goal with that is, you know, to get this fun, exciting new product on our ambassadors, but also we really want to portray that anybody can be a representative for Fleet Feet. Anybody can be a trail runner. Anybody can run a marathon or a half marathon or tackle a 5K. And so that definitely has been my driving force as I have planned this program. And the 14 people that we have selected capture this so, so beautifully. It's so touching. And I saw Mike's comment. We do have Leanne is on the call tonight. She is we were actually just taking some pictures today. They're beautiful. She is representing Viore and Hoka for us. And she's wonderful. She just ran her first marathon, signed up for our trail program. And she's everything that Fleet Feet captures. So we're really excited about it.
Awesome. Yeah. It sounds like, you know, you all have that inclusiveness dialed in well. So I love the idea of just being able to appeal to all the different levels, you know, whether you're a first timer, you're a little more experienced, you're, you know, been doing it for years. Like it's great, you know, at all those different levels. So appreciate that for sure. Excellent. Well, thank you for filling us in on that. And with that, I think we're going to transition over to Jessica. She's got some things going on.
All right. It's rapid fire question time.
Yes, let's go.
Some questions and you just have to answer them really quick. First thing that comes to your brain. All right.
Oh, okay.
All right. Are you ready?
Okay. I just suddenly got nervous.
Nothing crazy. Nothing crazy. Okay. Road or trail?
Trail.
Your favorite piece of running equipment?
My Wazelle running tights that are all reflective and have reflective birds on them.
Okay. Nice. Bucket list race.
Cascade Crest 100.
Wow. Nice. Favorite nutrition?
Spring energy gels.
Yeah. And then last but not least, your favorite running shoe.
Ooh. The Evo Speed Goat from Hoka, definitely.
Nice. Does that have anything to do with Cole?
No. So Cole ran, like, he started running with Hoka after me. Okay. I was the first one to run in Hokas. Okay. So I inspired him to, you know, go on and get sponsored and represent Hoka.
I think it's really important that you just set the record straight. Yes. We will make sure that that is aired out.
Mm-hmm. That has been recorded.
Oh boy.
Thank you so much. That's so fun.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Jessica. So thank you, Jocelyn. Really appreciate your time tonight and kind of like walking us through your history as a runner. I think we all learned some interesting things, certainly about the steeplechase. I know that's going to stick with us. and I do remember that bar is pretty big, like pretty hefty. So yeah, I'm thinking like it's about a 4x4, like, you know, piece of wood there. So definitely impressive. And yeah, great to hear about Fleet Feet. Obviously well-known brand in the area. You know, we'll include links in the show notes to, you know, obviously your Instagram, their Instagram, any other relevant things that will help get people kind of like informed about the ambassador program, just so they can learn more about it if that's something they want to do maybe in the future. And all the other different training plans. I think that's going to be great just to connect people. And, you know, as we kind of get through into 2021, and I know we're all looking forward to getting back to like all of our in-person races and group runs and all that good stuff. And yeah, I appreciate like all the effort you and your team is putting in to facilitate that. That's excellent.
Thank you so much, you guys. This was a ton of fun.
Yeah, cool. I'm just going to do a little closer here, but stay on for a moment after we shut everything down. As always, everybody, we just want to thank you all for joining us again for another episode of the Mile 99 interview series. As you may know, we have a podcast version of this. If you go to themile99interview.com, you can find all of our podcast episodes there. You can rate our show. You can find our Facebook page, which is also the Mile 99 Interview Series. We have an Instagram at themile99interview. So please go ahead and follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. We love putting up little posts all the time just to get some engagement with everybody. We've got gear reviews that Mike's been working on a lot lately, and we're definitely going to be getting some interesting stuff out. You want to just give a little quick shout out about that, Mike?
Yeah, we have some cool, it's winter, so we have a lot of off-season stuff we're going to talk about. Greg Larkin is our, you know, he does a lot of, he's a rower, he's a bike racer, he's skiing. We're going to chat next week about all of his indoor activities, what we can do at home, what we can buy and indoor rowing and competitions. That'd be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one for sure. So we'll get the nerd out on all the good stuff there. So yeah, stay tuned for that. We also have our little mini series within our podcast, Rebecca Redlines Cancer. She's a hiker from New Hampshire who we've been talking to for several episodes now. She was diagnosed with breast cancer over the summer, but she has still continued hiking mountains, putting in the miles. She has an incredible drive, and we've been learning a lot from her. And we're going to have a new episode with her coming up very shortly. So stay tuned for that as well. And you can find all the details on our website. So once again, thank you on behalf of Mike, Jessica, and thank you, Jocelyn. Have a great night, and we'll see you on the trails. Take care. Bye-bye.